Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Conversations presented by Oscar Crawford Media. I'm Oscar Crawford. Hello, do I have my broadcast partner with me? Well, today we are talking about making new friends every day. And my partner in broadcast will be with me shortly, Rebecca Bennett. Rebecca, are you with me? Rebecca, are you with me? Okay, while I'm being joined, I will begin with a few things that I'm always asked by people who ask me how I manage to develop relationships with people so quickly. Let me see if my partner's with me now. Rebecca, are you with me?
Good afternoon, I am.
Well, good.
Can you hear me?
I'm really glad. I'm excited that we're together again.
So. Always.
Yeah, we are together. So, you know, we were going to talk about making new friends every day, but so much has happened since we were on last week. I wondered if you wanted to spend a few moments maybe recapping some things we said about the inauguration and some commentary about the Women's March in D.C. the following day. Want to pick up anything there before we go into our topic for the day?
Sure. I'd like to encourage everybody. I think the underlying theme, whether you're talking about the election, whether you're talking about a relationship, whether you're talking about a woman's march, in all of the events that we've covered, it is about taking that personal initiative to be involved, to be engaged in what is your life and the things that you feel you need to be empowered about, as well as how you can then take your own self-empowerment and give it to others to make the world around you a better place. So I think the moral behind it all is it has to start from within. And once you are complete and whole and able to give yourself that empowerment, you can then turn around and give it to somebody else.
Okay. One of the things that I've been asking people since we talked is, you know, I believe I'm blessed to know a few people like you who have developed people skills. And so I've been asking, since there are a few of us who, and I'm going to use the word enlightened, who are enlightened when it comes to meeting people, connecting with people, maintaining and sustaining relationships over time, how do we teach that and model that? And what I had a number of people tell me is exactly what we do. We meet people, we meet them where they are, we affirm them where we meet them, and, you know, where we find we have shared interests, we develop around them. But we do it from a level of respect.
Exactly. I think you have to be open in anything that you do and know that just because you don't necessarily agree with somebody about all things doesn't mean they're a bad person. And I think too many times in life we put people in a box and we think they need to fit nicely in that package with all those rough edges and with all those boundaries. And we oftentimes just lose what we get in the gift of knowing them by allowing them to just be them, to have that freedom to agree to disagree and be happy with each other that we're different and unique, and then that's okay.
Oh yeah, I'm certainly honoring that. Here's another thing I've been trying to share, is that you know, with some commentary about the diversity of women's voices that spoke in D.C. last Saturday, one of the things that you know, as being an African American man, that we've had to always say to people who want to put us in the black box, is that everybody in the black box has the same identical personality. So whether you pull out one of us or a million of us, you're going to get a million of us instead of just one of us. There's no collective black mind. And I wanted to help people understand there's no collective woman mind, not in America, not in Georgia, Arizona, not anywhere across the world. So until we're able to do what you're talking about appreciating the difference in everybody and a level of respect, there's always going to be conflict. And I think we have to apply that as well to recognizing that we have a new president that doesn't fit anybody's box that comes before him. So I think we're probably at a really good opportunity for social growth.
agree, 100%.
Okay, you ready to talk about how we make new friends every day?
I am.
Okay, so I've been trying to think of a couple of things that I always do when I meet people, and maybe you would start with, when you meet somebody for the first time, whether they've appealed to you or whether you've appealed to them or you just happen to be meeting, what are the immediate things that you do every time you meet someone new?
I think you always need to smile. It takes a lot more muscles and a lot more energy in your body to frown than it does to smile. So I try to walk around with a smile on my face, whether I'm interacting with people or not. But I think sometimes even in everybody's darkest of days, if a stranger smiles at them, it puts a good feeling inside you. So it opens that door to be able to say, how are you doing? Or oftentimes I try very hard to give somebody a compliment for whatever scenario that we're in. Or a simple greeting such as, I hope you're having a blessed day. Or if they look like they're struggling, a lot of times I find them in the grocery store or at Walmart or whatnot. Can I help you with that? Or if they drop something, pick it up and say, here you go. A lot of times it's not anything real extravagant or out of the way that I do. I just try really hard to be cognizant and aware that there's an entire world around me that may not be as blessed as I am, and I need to share what I have. And it doesn't have to be monetary. It doesn't have to be anything great. Again, I think a smile is the most blessed way to start with anybody, is most people don't get smiled at, especially the more maybe run down or scattered-looking person that you run into.
I think we probably do pretty much the same thing. If I were meeting you for the first time, whether we were in the street or in a coffee shop or in a grocery store, whatever had prompted our engagement, the first thing that I want to immediately do in almost microseconds is find something about you to affirm as I say hello, because I want to do that. It's one of my intentions is to connect as quickly as possible. If any connection is to be established, that needs to happen so that the other person can feel some immediate connection and establish some rapport very quickly. And from there, once conversation is initiated, whether from a smile or from a hello, or whether you accidentally bump into somebody, from that point, it is important to focus on the other person and allow them to reveal themselves. And I find the more we help other people reveal themselves to us, the more they feel appreciated. And I agree with you. I think there are a lot of people we find ourselves around who don't feel appreciated at all. So a smile at them, a moment with them, maybe a cup of coffee with them would turn their world around.
I am in a very unique position once a week. As some people know, some people don't. Have very elderly parents, so my mother is wheelchair bound when we're out in public because she can't do all the extensive walking. So when we do the whole Saturday run to town and we're in and out of grocery stores and in and out of various different things and places that she wants to go, I'm constantly driving up to the door and I go get a one of those motorized buggies or whatnot and bring it back and put her in it and of course go park the car and whatnot. So there's a whole lot of people staring at me, so to speak, because they see me voracious and obviously not needing a wheelchair, you know, jump out of a vehicle and jump on this motorized cart. And find that has been a wonderful way for me to be able to engage with other people is when they're giving you that, not real sure they know what you're doing or are you qualified to be on the cart or a whole gamut
right.
of things. It has allowed me to be able to speak to people. And oftentimes when I'm taking a buggy back or when I'm doing, you know, something after I've gotten her back in the car, I've had the wonderful opportunity to be able to do for other people, which you would be surprised the smiles and the just positive aura that comes out of somebody that's handicapped or having issues or whatnot, you know, and you walk over to their car, ride over their car and go, you know, would you like this before I take it back in or whatnot, it's fully charged, that kind of thing. And that has been a wonderful engagement over the last 6 months or so for my Saturdays, is to be able to meet people that typically maybe I would never run into otherwise if I wasn't sitting in a handicapped spot or wasn't kind of in that scenario. They're people that I wouldn't normally have ever had the opportunity to engage with. And it has really been a blessing to see the positivity that has come out of them by just what you would, you know, a handicapped person that's taking the buggy back to their car. Can I take that back in for you? Or, you know, can I grab the buggy?
Sure.
Can I help you load your whatever into your car? It's been an amazing ride to have that interaction, to have that
So what do you do? What do you do when you have made an expression of kindness to someone, and their response is everything but kindness back to you? How do you respond at that point, or what do you do next?
Oftentimes, I wish them a blessed day, and you know, just kind of go on about my. I've had them look at me very odd because I'll say, you know, I walk up to them if there's a lot of times that these carts aren't available, so. If you see somebody coming through the line, you know, a lot of times I'll stand there and wait till they get through, and I'm, are you going to your car or whatnot? I'll ask that kind of general question so that I don't look like the crazy stalker woman at Walmart that follows you around.
Right.
And sometimes they'll give you a great answer like, oh, yeah, I'm going to the car, thanks, you're welcome to the buggy. And sometimes they'll look at you like, you know, can you please stop and back off? And, you know, when I'm done and out of it, then, you know, then you can have it. You know, so you kind of run the gamut. And but what I have found is 9 times out of 10, they're happy, they're cordial, they're grateful, they're thankful. I really, you know, I've only gotten one out of a cliche, but like one out of a million that are rude or mean about it. And then when I explain that it's not for me, I say, well, yeah, if you don't mind, I'll follow you to your car, and, you know, you don't have to worry about bringing it back. And, you know, my mom's in the car, and I'm waiting to go get her. So watch until they understand that it's not me and I'm not abusing it. Or, you know, again, the world around us is so jaded that I think, if you can find that one opportunity, again, to give them a smile, to be positive, to bring that value add to a moment in their day, I think you've done
right.
Something good.
Yeah, I have a really close friend who, when I spend time with her, she says, please don't make eye contact with that person that's looking at you right now, because she knows that I'm likely going to spend some time with that person, and that person is going to take up some time that we might have been going on to do what we do. And sometimes it does. It takes some time. Other times, the most recent challenge I had like that, I saw a woman who looked like she was going off the deep end, literally. She looked like she was going off the deep end, so I asserted to see if I could do anything to help her. She said, no, because you look like the man that is always hurting me. And I said, okay, I asked for that. So I stood back. I took a step further back to say, hey, please look again. Make sure that you understand that I am not that person. But that's the risk. That is the risk. If we're going to be people that empower people, make new friends and build new relationships, that always has the potential to happen just as much as what we like to have happen.
The funniest story I've ever had in doing that has been I got proposed to, and I just had to politely say no, thank you. I'm not interested.
Right.
But it was actually very funny because he was with my – he had seen my mother, so he'd asked my mother before I ever got back over to him if he could marry me. And she goes, well, you can ask. She's going to tell you no. And I just thought, well, great, thanks. That just paints me in the worst of light, right? So, of course, he asked, and I said no, and he kind of chuckled and thought it was funny. I was like, well, your mother said that you would say no. He says, I'm kind of disheartened. I'd like to take you back to Alabama with me. So, I mean, it's
well,
a little short sometimes. Sometimes it works really well, sometimes not so much.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so
here's the thing.
I know we talked about Casper the Friendly Ghost a moment getting ready for this. But, I mean, we saw that in that cartoon forever ago. Everybody wasn't ready for Casper. Everybody wasn't ready for a ghost to be friendly with them. Now, at the time we're live in now, more people might be excited about that because there's ghost chasers everywhere. You know, people are trying to pursue connections with the other side. But everybody is not geared for what I may have to offer or what you have to offer. But our task is to continue to offer ourselves up to empower people for a moment, because a moment may be all we have.
Exactly.
A moment may be all we have to give to someone.
I think the world around us has made people so jaded that for people to walk up to them and speak is always that takes them a step back, like, okay, what do you want from me? They immediately flip to the negative, you know, what are they fixing to, you know, how do I need to prepare myself? Do I need to draw a gun? You know, am I unsafe? There's all these millions of negative, you know, things that kind of run through somebody's mind. A stranger walks up to them. So I think we have to really, I mean, for me, that makes me all the more willing to kind of do that engagement to kind of push beyond what is the norm of thing head down, you know.
Right.
Because I think people need that. People need somebody to invest in them. I think we have a world around us of people who have people that have given up. you're not worth it, it's not worth my time, or simply just don't know what an investment is. They weren't invested in themselves and what was, you know, a family unit society as they were processing and growing, and so therefore they've not evolved into knowing how to give that investment to somebody else. And so as they have become parents and mentors and adults in and out of, you know, their day-to-day life, they run into people that I think people honestly just don't know what to do. And it's easier
right.
to just shut down, not say anything, than it is to force beyond what is that comfortable zone and shake a hand or smile or speak, ask if somebody's having a, you know, a good day or a bad day, and really, truly stand there and let them tell you whether they're – I mean, most people, I tell everybody the biggest lie I tell every day is when people say, how are you doing? And I say, fine.
I'm fine. Yeah, of course.
I'm fine. I'm good.
Yeah, we're all programmed to throw that one. Yeah, there's so many things to work out here that it's amazing how the thing we do from the moment we pop from the womb until we rest in our tomb is relationship. And there's so little education, training, and preparation for it. It's no wonder that most of us mess it up for way longer than it ought to be messed up. And there's no guarantees that anything in life is going to work like we'd like it to. But with a few skills developed, and I believe people can learn some skills. I think people can learn, number one, how to like themselves, then how to show respect to other people, and then be able to make some better decisions about the people they'd like to connect with. I mean, if you look at the marketplace now, how many places are there for you now to get the marriage hookup? Oh, let me show you the candidates on this service or on this site. And there's somebody for Christians, somebody for Muslims, somebody for the LGBT community. I mean, there's some service offering to connect people, which says they clearly know people don't know how to do that on their own. And there was a time that was taken for granted. People would evolve, they'd connect, and they'd be connected for however long they were connected. But I don't believe it's a lost art. I think it's just a con job that we've been told we don't know how to do it. Talk to me.
I think people know how to do it. I think people have given up on wanting to do it. It takes a lot of time. It actually means you have to be real with somebody. And I think reality has become so desensitized that that's a hard concept to wrap your brain around. Most people don't want to think about what their reality is. They don't want to think about, you know, what am I as a person? A lot of times I will so, and this kind of tailors back to the question that was asked in the very first segue, how long do you stay in a bad relationship kind of thing? I'm
right.
always that person that says, you know, okay, what can I do differently? What should I have done differently? If I make this change, you know, will that then, that would give me a different result, you know? So I think people, though, in the intro perspective of who they are, don't want to take that time. I think they perceive themselves maybe as ugly or, you know, not valuable in various different ways, and so therefore to make that investment in themselves is difficult. And so when they try to make an investment in somebody else when they're not invested in themselves, it comes out muddled, so they don't get the result that they're looking for, and then they shut down. And so then as you get less and less of the results you're looking for by what you're doing, I think then you go, okay, I obviously don't know how to do this, and then they make the choice to either recluse and stop trying to, you know, have those connections, or like you and I, we go to the polar opposite of that and go, okay, I do it so poorly, let's just throw the masses at it. Somewhere in the numbers, I'll come up with some good odds.
Okay. Okay, now I want to repeat back to you, because I want, for whoever will be ever listening to this throughout time, I want people to be able to clearly hear what you said, and I've heard this before, and it's interesting that it may be more particular to a demographic or to some demographics more than others. It is difficult for me to conceive of the under 30 crowd to have this concern, but people 35 and older, I believe, might. I know that after being married nearly 30 years, Bonnie and I say to each other that if for whatever the reason we might become disconnected, that we neither have the energy nor the desire to get to know somebody all over again to the level that we know each other now. So I hear you. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. It's dirty. It's a gritty process, and I think oftentimes certain personalities tend to just go, that's more than I want to invest in anybody, and I'm okay with that. And they walk away from it, and so therefore they don't necessarily get to benefit from the type of connections that you and I make, because we make them on an intentional level where people like that only have that connection when it comes by happenstance or a fluke type scenario, because they're not seeking it out like you and I are.
Well, here's my high hope.
I hope
love doesn't become a dinosaur.
You
know what I'm saying? I'm hoping love and relationship doesn't become a dinosaur.
No, I ask people that I get to know on any level more than just the surface. Once we begin to scratch, I ask the question a lot to people: what, when you say love, what does love mean? You know, what gives me a definition of that? Because love can have a whole host of different definitions, and depending on how you actually feel about what that is that tangible? Is that concrete? Is that an action? Is it a feeling? Is it an emotion? Love is going to constantly be changing for you depending on how you view what that is, and what does it expect of you? What does it, you know, what, how do you play that out? When you give love to somebody, what does that look like? And when you want love back, what, you know, what are you telling somebody that you need that for? And I think in our age group and the older demographic, we kind of went through that. What are love languages? And if you were connected to a church or any type of like community, I think you got given some of that information, where that's not as widely talked about in the scenario of what it is as a concrete versus what it is in the abstract. So kids today know what love is in a very broad sense of what they make it to be, not in any type of concreteness, something that they tangibly can grab hold of and build upon or make better. They feel it.
Okay, so I know.
And then
when
the feeling's gone, they go, okay.
I know one of the things that we do when we've worked with people who've been addicted to drugs or other behaviors that are self-destructive, it is not so important to know what precipitated the behavior. What is really important is to cause distance to come between the person and the behavior that's killing them. And so, we could probably spend an eternity talking about the multiplicity of causes that would have precipitated this. But it is clear to me, I mean, absolutely crystal clear to me, that people still want to be involved in meaningful connections. But for the lack of everything that you just described and understanding of what that means, many may likely not be able to ever experience it temporarily or almost feel impossible in the long term. What do you believe has replaced that as an initiative then? And I'm not trying to go back for all the social causes of parenting and all that, but what do you think may have replaced the desire to connect the way people have traditionally connected?
I really believe it's the desensitized society that we live in. There were so many things that were kind of taboo, so to speak, in say, my childhood in the 70s, or maybe they started breaking out about, and I was too young in the 70s to know, but through the 80s and everything like from my childhood growing years, there was still very much the chastity belt and the, you know, swearing, you know, was not a big thing. You know, TV, that was all done after, say, 11 o'clock and on into the night. And if you were a person of the night, you kind of had a box put on you. So there were a certain set of details about you that if you were of that hour time frame of things that you watched or listened to or heard or were exposed to, that the rest of the world from, say, 9 to 11 before we went to bed, you know, weren't in what is considered prime time. Where now, prime time is just very messy. We have channels that are Adult Swim that get vulgar and touch and have opened up subjects and things that are just a lot for somebody to, you know, take in. And if you're not very stable, I think, in yourself, and those preceptors come in, it's a lot easier to deal with, say, sex or vulgarity or lust or desire and things like that than it is to actually scrape beyond the surface and go to a relationship beyond what is lust and desire on the surface. So, you know, lust and desire in a relationship, as you dig deep, become intimacy, and that requires a lot of work and a lot of give and take and a lot of conversation and a lot of knowing what is okay and what is not okay with you, and then
mm-hmm.
knowing how to give that to somebody else, but also knowing how to receive it back. And a lot of people that are great givers, very, very bad receivers. So they'll give you the shirt off their back, happy to do it. If you were to give them something in the same notion or measure, they fumble. They shut down because they're not good at receiving. And that is something I think you have to find that balance. You have to be able to find how to give and how to receive in a yin-yang mode that works well with whoever you're trying to have that intimate below-the-surface relationship with.
Well, and I think that's the selling point for a relationship. I'm a big believer in negotiating for what you want. But to negotiate for what you want, you have to know what that is. And I know that can change from time to time, so you renegotiate your understanding. But if we could teach people to have a perception of the quality that has the potential for, then we might be able to influence people to rethink the fruit of relationship. Because let's face this. If you are involved with someone for a period of time and the least thing disgusts you and you opt out, you can never know what might have been possible to achieve. And so you start over with another blank slate who brings as much messy understanding to your connection as you do, and the real likelihood that's not going to go anywhere either. So the more you prove that that's the case, the more you begin to expect that and don't expect anything. But if we could model for people how to say, and I'll make us the example again, if we met today and for some reason we felt some connection, then the next thing would be a conversation about how do we further think about things and where do we have interests that intersect and, you know, whether or not that holds any potential for us to further explore. But you're right. That takes intention and it takes work. And few people are trained to be able to do that.
Scholars or listeners, in case you haven't taken away from any of the sessions that we've had so far with me on the radio, Oscar and I didn't exactly mesh in our first interaction with each other, and I am extremely blessed that he gave me a second chance. So I think sometimes you have to, again, as you and I have modeled, make that intention to go beyond
for sure.
Maybe that initial impact or impression of, wow, she's a handful. Give me a run for my money.
maybe we'll talk to people about that. Okay, we've got a minute left, but maybe we can talk to people more about that at another time, because I think there's some valuable things to glean from that, because that's exactly what we're talking about. If either of us had developed an attitude around our initial conversation, that would have been the end of it. And look, let me tell you this. The woman I'm married to now nearly 30 years, the first time we met, oh, that was not like, oh, I'm so glad to meet you. Let me be with you the rest of my life. No, not at all. As a matter of fact, it was thought that I was too arrogant to be any person socially appropriate for her. And so that kind of was our first impression. But obviously, we looked a little past that, like you and I did our first conversation. Maybe we'll spend some time on that and teach people how to do that.
And I have to say, from an intention, you know, as a practitioner of The Secret and as somebody who truly, you know, believes that in finding your own self anything, if there's a takeaway, is that it is important to invest that time.
Agreed. Rebecca, thank you.
Okay.
We're out of time already.
Wonderful.
We'll do it again.
Well, I wanna
from now.
I wanna get to questions. I know we have a bunch of questions from our political segue, so hopefully we get to do those next week.
Okay. Look forward to it.
Goodbye. God bless.